Welcome to The Disappearing Mind, a unique podcast helping you find clarity and support along your dementia journey. Now, join National Dementia Trainer and Coach, Dawn Platt, for an all-new episode.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Dawn Platt. Thank you for joining me today on The Disappearing Mind. In the last few podcasts, I've been discussing some tips and pointers, educational materials from the Alzheimer's Association, from Harvard Medical Publishing, and from WebMD. Good information that I think that you're going to find valuable. You know, sometime we need to go back and really discuss the basics to remind ourselves some good information to consider when we are involved in a dementia care journey. So let's go ahead and get started today. I do a lot of research and read a lot of articles, and I don't want to bypass the basics of what we should be talking about for our audience, for our listeners, because I think it's important that you know and understand every aspect of dementia as much as possible when you are engaging in the dementia care journey with yourself or with your loved one. So let's go over some information from WebMD, and I will try and embellish this and tell you some stories and kind of my take on some of this basic information that I think is important. So what is dementia? We've talked about that. Dementia, also called a neurocognitive disorder. It's not a disease. It's a group of symptoms caused by other conditions. Dementia is a very broad term for loss of thinking ability, and that loss is severe enough to interfere with someone's daily life. I mean, that's pretty simple. That's a pretty basic description, but thinking abilities include such things as memory, language skills and abilities, problem solving, visual perception, self-management, and our ability to focus and pay attention. So that's pretty severe. I mean, that's a pretty good description of dementia and its impacts, and understanding that it's much more than just confusion. Dementia is something that we've always said is an umbrella term for a loss of thinking ability that affects your ability to function in daily life. I mean, I think that's the kicker there. When it becomes to the point that it impacts someone's ability to live their daily functional ability, that's when we really want to take a look at it and seek further treatment. About 5 to 8% of adults over the age of 65 have some sort of dementia. Now, this is directly from WebMD, and I think that that is a pretty staggering number. I believe that that number might be a little higher now. Don't quote me, but it keeps going up. We keep seeing the statistics go up every year. I encourage you to always watch the statistics that are put out by places like WebMD and the Alzheimer's Association, because it really tells an overall picture of what we're looking at here in the United States and worldwide. This percentage doubles every 5 years after the age of 65. As many as half of the people in their 80s have some loss of thinking ability. So think about that. That's a lot. And the longer that we live, and we are living longer, the more chances that we have of developing some sort of dementia. What are some of the common causes of dementia? Dementia causes problems with thinking, with memory, and with reasoning. Let's talk about dementia versus Alzheimer's. So Alzheimer's disease is the most common type of dementia that we see. Statistically, it is said that 70 to 80% of people with dementia have Alzheimer's disease. But there are many other causes of dementia that are prevalent. Dementia symptoms may improve with treatment, depending on what type of dementia that you have. But many of the actual diseases like Alzheimer's disease or Lewy body are not curable. Okay, they are not curable. These diseases maybe are maintained for a longer period of time, but there is no cure at this time. New medication is coming out every year, every other year. They're trying new treatments, and we're thankful for that. We're hoping for that cure. But right now, there is nothing that is showing great promise, although I think there's some things coming down the pike. We've talked a little bit on the podcast about dementia versus normal aging. Many people, about 40%, have some degree of various memory loss is a normal part of aging. We know that. We've talked about that. And as we age, we have slow changes to both our body and our brain. For instance, we lose some of our neurons in the brain, the nerve cells that send messages throughout our body telling it what to do as we get older. That's perfectly normal and common. For most of us, memory loss doesn't affect our ability to live, though, day to day or remain independent. A small degree of memory loss is known as age-associated memory impairment, and it causes memory problems that don't disrupt your daily life, don't affect your ability to complete normal tasks, don't affect your ability to learn or remember new things, and aren't caused by an underlying medical condition. It's just part of the body aging and slowing down. But a small percentage of people will develop dementia as they get older. Unlike people with normal aging, people with dementia will have memory loss that gets worse over time until they're not able to take care of themselves. What are some of these causes of dementia that we want to talk about? And obviously, these are mostly going to be diseases that we're going to talk about, but we're going to talk about some other factors that I think are important. Dementia causes damage to our brain cells. It stops them from sending messages to one another. And when our brain cells cannot communicate, it can make it hard for us to think or to feel or to process. And it could also change our behavior. So these are important. Our brain cells, our neurons are hugely important. We had a whole conversation with Dr. Sandra Peterson on our neurons and regeneration and all of that. And I'm hoping to have her on again. Your brain has several regions to it that control different functions in your body. So for instance, your cerebrum controls movement, body temperature, speech, thinking, reasoning, problem solving, and emotions, among other things. And when your brain cells are damaged in a specific part of your brain, that region can't control your body the way it should. I mean, it's pretty simple. It helps you understand why some people have some symptoms and others have other symptoms. They're not all the same. There are several underlying medical conditions that can cause this kind of damage, including the actual diseases or the non-reversible type of dementias. And Alzheimer's disease, we know, is the most common. And people with Alzheimer's disease or AD, they have pieces of protein called amyloid cluster, and they form together plaque between brain cells and another protein called tau. It forms what's called tangles inside their nerve cells. And these proteins can often start in the hippocampus, which is the area of your brain that controls how you form memories. And over time, the buildup of these plaques and tangles spread throughout the brain, leading to deterioration, increased memory loss, and trouble thinking. Eventually, people lose the ability to communicate and become dependent on others for their daily care. I mean, that really is the whole definition of what Alzheimer's disease is. And you're probably more familiar with that because it's more commonly talked about. And we have much more education material on Alzheimer's disease. But another condition really is vascular dementia. And vascular contributions to cognitive impairment and dementia are caused by other risk factors. If you're at increased risk for a stroke, or if you have atrial fibrillation, you have chronic hypertension, diabetes, even high cholesterol, your symptoms will depend upon the blood circulation problems that you have and the circulation problems that you have in your brain, as well as how big they are and how many you have. So there are several different types of vascular dementia. Vascular dementia can be common. We see it a lot in our memory care. There is vascular dementia as a diagnosis, and then there's vascular cognitive impairment, and then post-stroke dementia. We hear that word, which is just what it says. People who have had strokes or had multiple strokes or massive strokes will have a cognitive decline of the vascular type. multi-infarct dementia, and others. So multi-infarct, again, is a stroke. It's multiple mini strokes or multiple strokes that has caused an occlusion of blood flow to the brain and the death or damage of brain cells. And it's going to produce a type of vascular dementia. Very different than Alzheimer's disease, but nevertheless, we do see this. A third kind and the second most prevalent type of dementia is Lewy body dementia. After Alzheimer's disease and vascular causes, Lewy body dementia is the most common type. It is caused by balloon-like clumps of abnormal proteins called Lewy bodies, which form in our nerve cells. People with Lewy body dementia have problems with their thinking, behavior, body, and sleep. There are a couple different types of Lewy body dementia that we see commonly diagnosed, and that's dementia with Lewy bodies. And then Parkinson's disease dementia, or PDD, are the two types that we see where this particular Lewy body is present in the brain. The next type is frontal temporal dementia, which is another pretty common type of dementia that we see in our memory cares across the United States. And this is a group of neurodegenerative brain disorders that primarily affect the frontal and temporal lobes of the brain. So your frontal lobe partly controls your personality, decision-making, movement, actually morality, ability to smell and speak. So changes in your frontal lobe of your brain would affect your ability to reason, affect your ability to make decisions, to prioritize, to multitask, maybe even to act appropriately and control movement. You might be impulsive. Your temporal lobe partly controls short-term memory, speech, musical rhythm, and speech difficulties, trouble swallowing, vision problems, trouble concentrating, and language issues. So there are a number of things that it impacts. It's important that we know and understand that there are different types of dementia, and these are all non-treatable and non-curable. So there are currently no treatments for curing or reversing frontal temporal dementia. I want to talk for a minute about some of the signs, and I'm not going to go over all of them. We're just going to talk about two of the frontal temporal symptoms that you might see. I don't want to get too complicated. I just want you to understand that the reason that we talk about how important it is to get an accurate diagnosis is not only the treatment, what treatment options are, but each one of these dementias can progress differently and in different ways and impact your loved one in a different way. It's very important, but let's just talk about two of them. There is a behavioral variant frontal temporal dementia, and this may or may not cause memory problems, but this type of dementia can primarily affect your behavior, judgment, and personality. Oftentimes in a dementia professional's world, we see what people would consider odd behavioral expression or even bizarre behaviors. And the reason for that is that these different types of dementia can produce differing symptoms. And some of these can be hard to cope with, can be hard to understand as a family member. I know that there are many families that might feel guilt-ridden, but these symptoms are real. And dementia is real, and different types of dementia, such as the frontal temporal dementia, can produce different behavioral expressions that you would never normally see in your loved one. So imagine if they didn't have major confusion, but they were just acting out of character, maybe bizarrely, it could be directly due to frontal temporal dementia. The other type is the primary progressive aphasia. And this type of frontal temporal dementia usually causes changes in the ability to speak, understand, write, read, and say what you're thinking. So again, you see a completely different set of symptoms and abilities that are impacted by dementia. So understanding these things are going to be very important when you are trying to care for someone who has dementia. And it will really help you understand and separate your loved one from the dementia. I know that a lot of people go through guilt and even shame in regards to how their loved one might act or some of the things that they might do. Dementia is a horrible, horrible disease. It's a horrible, horrible condition. And I assure you that your loved one is just a victim of that. And you need to know and understand that, really separate that from intention or from your loved one's normal personality. This is going to be important for you to understand. So there are other neurodegenerative diseases and conditions that have dementia-like symptoms. And I'm going to just read off. I'm not going to go in any depth, but Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease, chronic traumatic encephalopathy, Huntington's disease, HIV-associated dementia, and then secondary dementias that are due to other medical conditions such as meningitis, multiple sclerosis, encephalitis, and even brain tumors. Important that you know and understand that secondary conditions are going to be impactful and might be a symptom of in the future if someone is diagnosed with these diseases that we've just reviewed. Let's talk about some treatable causes or some reversible causes of dementia-like symptoms. So here we're not talking about a disease. It's not Alzheimer's disease or Lewy body. It is symptoms, having the symptoms of dementia that are occurring. And there are a number of factors that could be impacting you or your loved one. And I like to review them because getting an evaluation, do I have the non-reversible type of dementia or do I have a treatable condition that is causing me to be confused is important. So number one is alcohol or substance use disorder. Definitely alcohol long-term can create a condition called Korsakoff dementia, but just alcohol in general or chronic alcoholism can produce dementia-like symptoms. Some medications can have side effects that bring about confusion. Really important to always have that evaluated. Tumors, brain tumors in particular, hematoma, subdural hematomas, blood clots underneath the outer covering of the brain, water on the brain or normal pressure hydrocephalus is a buildup of fluid in the brain. That can also produce symptoms of dementia. Vitamin B12 deficiency or metabolic disorders can also create that. Dehydration, we see confusion. Low levels of thyroid hormones. Hypothyroidism, extreme hypothyroidism can cause some confusion. Low blood sugar, hypoglycemia. Vasculitis, which is inflammation of the blood vessels in your brain. And then chronic infections. These are just a few factors that if that is the case, these symptoms are treatable once the condition is treated and will reverse that. I've seen things like nutritional deficits, people being poorly maintained in their diet, and they just get better and clearer as they start eating a good diet. So really important. Then there are certain risk factors for dementia that we'll talk about. Certain physical and lifestyle factors can raise your chances of dementia, including obviously your age. So we talked about that. As you age, every year above 65, every 5 years, that increases. And over the age of 80, your chances really increase to develop dementia. A family history. If you have a family history of dementia, I suggest that you get checked out, that you look at your options, that you certainly look into brain health and make it a lifestyle for yourself. Illnesses, including diabetes, especially out of control diabetes, Down syndrome, multiple sclerosis, heart disease, and sleep apnea. These are all things that can contribute. Depression, chronic depression, lifestyle factors such as heavy alcohol use, poor diet, smoking, lack of exercise, brain injuries from accidents or incidents, high impact sports, military service, strokes, infection in your brain, for example, meningitis, syphilis, hearing loss. Hearing loss is one. I'm going to have an audiologist come on one day, and we're going to talk about hearing loss and in relationship to dementia. It's quite telling, and I'd like to have an expert on to talk about hearing loss. Low levels of some vitamins and nutrients, such as vitamin D and B12. sleep problems, sleep disorders, including insomnia or dependence on sleep medication. So Benadryl is not a good medication. We'll talk about that separately. There's several medications that you don't want to take chronically because they can produce dementia. Pollutants in your environment, cognitive reserve. So cognitive reserve, which is your ability, your brain's ability to handle diseases, and it comes from doing mentally stimulating work. We all have a cognitive reserve, and that is the brain's ability to recall memory or other abilities for brain function and to handle certain diseases that come to us. Cognitive reserve is something that we can work on and something that brain health really impacts. So we talk about building the brain muscle matter. Brain health is all about flexing that brain muscle and making sure that we are doing things that are going to be healthy for our brain, both now and in the future. I hope that these tips and this educational material that I've covered today has been helpful to you. And I hope that you will check out our resource page, that you will listen, share, and subscribe to the podcast. We look forward to hearing from you and be glad to answer any questions you have or cover a topic or have an expert on that you might find valuable to hear from. Let us know. Until next time, this is Dawn Platt. Make it a memorable day.
Thank you for joining us for the Disappearing Mind podcast. We hope it's helped you find clarity and support along your journey. Be sure to subscribe to never miss an episode, visit our website to suggest future topics, and share the podcast with friends and family.